Since the Lord Jesus said Scripture cannot be broken, please turn in your unbreakable Bibles to Mark chapter 15, verses 37 to 39. I believe that's on page 853 of the Bibles provided. Mark chapter 15, verses 37 to 39. Do not enter. No trespassing. Keep out. Have you encountered these kinds of signs before? Those kinds of signs remind us there are forbidden places, places where we may not, we cannot go, places we don't belong. As we've been reading in the Gospel of Mark, the curtain of the temple proclaimed loudly, "Do not enter. No trespassing. Keep out." But the good news of Good Friday and Jesus' death proclaims that Jesus, that the Savior, has opened heaven and hearts. So far in our tour through the passion narrative of Mark's gospel, we've encountered Jesus' willingness to serve as a sacrifice to ransom us from sin. This willingness led to Jesus' betrayal, his arrest, his trial, and his crucifixion. In these next few moments, we especially consider Jesus' death in Mark 15, verses 37 to 39. We read them just a few minutes ago, but follow along as I read them once more. Mark 15, verses 37 to 39. "And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, 'Truly this man was the Son of God.'" In one sense, the entire Gospel of Mark has been hurtling toward this moment. From the beginning, Mark's Gospel has been anticipating the last breath of the Son of God. I say this because of how the Gospel of Mark opened. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." That was the beginning of the good news of the Son of God. And in Mark 15, 37, the Son of God breathes his last. And this too is good news. It's good news for two reasons. First, it's good news because the death of the Son of God opens heaven for the guilty. And the second, it's good news because the death of the Son of God opens the hearts of the guilty. These two points are going to form the outline of the rest of the sermon. Jesus' death opens heaven for the guilty. And second, Jesus' death opens the hearts of the guilty. Friends, here's the sermon in a sentence. You should open your hearts to Jesus because he died to open heaven for you. You should open your hearts to Jesus because he died to open heaven for you. Let's turn and consider the first point our text makes. Jesus' death opens heaven for the guilty. In verse 37, you see there, Mark tells us Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. Reading the other gospels in harmony with Mark's gospel, we learn that among Jesus' last words were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." "It is finished. And Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Friends, these were among Jesus' last words when he was nailed to his cross and gasping for breath. Remember, crucifixion's goal was death by asphyxiation, death by a lack of breath. It was so cruel that normally Roman citizens were exempt from enduring it. The cross was usually assembled using two wooden beams, one vertical and one horizontal. With Jesus' arms affixed to the horizontal beam and his legs affixed to the vertical beam, Jesus was pulling himself and pushing himself up just to breathe. With so little breath in his lungs, Jesus spoke words of pardon. "Father, forgive them." With so little breath in his lungs, Jesus spoke words of fulfillment. "It is finished," meaning the price of redemption. The ransom for sinners was paid. Their debt cleared. With so little breath in his lungs, Jesus spoke words of commitment. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. This was Jesus' loud cry, a cry he wished for you to hear, so that you may believe. Jesus expelled his last breath. Jesus really and truly died. His spirit went to be with God the Father, and his body hung on the cross. When you think about the last breath of the God-man, it's striking to remember the breath God gave the first man. In John chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible teaches that all things were made through the eternal Son of God. That means the eternal Son was involved in the creation of the first man. Moses tells us in Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. The Son of God had a last breath on the cross because the first man used his breath and being to rebel against God. The first man, Adam, had plunged the world into sin and misery. Adam ushered in God's just judgment and condemnation upon sin and upon all his posterity. Indeed, Adam and Eve were thrust out of God's good garden, and angels with flaming swords were placed at the entrance to guard the way to God. As Israel's history unfolded, God made a way for sinners to meet with him, but there remained a barrier between God and man. A series of curtains divided the tabernacle and the temple complex. The curtains protected sinful man from the sinless God. Sinful man couldn't enter into the presence of the holy God without facing God's holy wrath. To enter, there would have to be the death of a spotless lamb. Life with God could only come through the death of a substitute. Blood would have to be shed for sins to be forgiven and man to enter in. You can have no relationship with God without your sins being forgiven and the barrier broken. Your anger, your lust, your coveting, your taking the Lord's name in vain, your sin and your rebellion all keep you from entering into God's presence. Jesus had to die and breathe his last to open the way to God once and for all for you. The tearing of the temple curtain proved Jesus' death opened the way to heaven. The curtain protected the Holy of Holies. The curtain protected the place where the high priest alone entered once a year. The high priest would make atonement for the sins of the people and his sins by offering the blood of a spotless lamb. And only the high priest could enter. But now, because of Jesus' high priestly sacrifice, all sinners who trust in the Son of God may enter the presence of God. This wasn't an ordinary curtain. Some scholars believe it may have been as tall as 80 feet. The curtain wasn't thin or sheer. The curtain was thick and durable. It was no accident that it was torn. It was torn by God. It was torn to make a supernatural statement. It was a supernatural tear. It was torn in two and torn from top to bottom, from heaven to earth. It was a divine act of welcome to sinners from the sovereign and holy God. And so Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. You see, Jesus had to die and breathe his last to open the way to God once and for all for you. The torn curtain proved Jesus' death opened the way to heaven for you. J.C. Ryle says that this text teaches that the way into the holiest of all was now thrown open to all mankind by Christ's death. Gentiles as well as Jews might now draw nigh to God with boldness. All barriers between man and God were forever cast down. Jesus' death opens heaven for the guilty. Are you ready for heaven? Has your heart been opened by Jesus' death? That's what happens with the centurion there in verse 39. Let's turn and consider our second point. Jesus' death opens the hearts of the guilty. Jesus' death opens the hearts of the guilty. Read Mark 15, verse 39 once more. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." The centurion was in charge of roughly 100 men, 100 soldiers. He was a man of consequence. He possessed authority and responsibility. In fact, he was most likely the man responsible for carrying out the crucifixion of Jesus. After all, he stands facing Jesus. He holds in his view everything that's taking place. He sees precisely how Jesus died. We don't know this man's name. He could be anyone. And that might just be the point. He could be anyone. Like him, anyone can believe in Jesus. Anyone can receive the benefits of Jesus' death through faith. Maybe you think that you're not just anyone. Maybe you think your sins against the holy God are too great and that you're too guilty for Jesus to save you. But consider this centurion, this man of authority and responsibility. This centurion had great guilt in the death of Jesus. This man is responsible for having crucified an innocent man. This centurion is guilty of injustice and unrighteousness. He has committed an immensely sinful act. He has crucified the Lord of glory. And still, Jesus is mighty to save him. That's because Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. Jesus is able to save anyone. Jesus is able to save you. God uses many means to open the hearts of the guilty. For the centurion, it was the way, the manner in which Christ died that God used to bring him to faith. The centurion witnessed Jesus endure the mocking and the beatings of the soldiers. The centurion witnessed Jesus pray for their forgiveness as he was nailed to the cross. The centurion witnessed the supernatural darkness and the earthquake surrounding Jesus' death. He witnessed the gracious words and conversation of Jesus on the cross. He witnessed Jesus trust God the Father and entrust himself to God the Father with his dying breath. He witnessed Jesus being reviled, and he did not revile in return. In Mark 15, 32, the chief priest and scribe reviled Jesus, saying, "Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Ironically, it was the centurion seeing all of this that led to his believing. And Jesus predicted this would happen in his public ministry. In John chapter 3, verses 14 and 50, Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." And later, in John 12, 32, Jesus said, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." That's what's happening with this centurion. This Gentile is being drawn to saving faith in Jesus. He saw the way Jesus died, and he believed. Will you behold the man upon the cross with your sin upon his shoulders? And will you believe? Consider this centurion's confession. He confessed Jesus is the Son of God. That's a radical confession for a Roman soldier. For him, only Caesar was the Son of God. But here he abandons faith in Caesar for faith in Jesus Christ. And in the context of Mark's gospel, the Son of God is the Savior of the world. The centurion's confession parallels God the Father's announcement that Jesus is his beloved Son in Mark chapter 1:11. This confession in Mark's gospel is a confession of faith. So here stands a guilty man witnessing the death of Jesus and believing in Jesus for eternal life. The confession of the centurion shows us that Jesus is the Savior of Jews and Gentiles. Jesus is the Savior of all of the guilty who will believe. Mark is saying to his Roman readers, you too may see and believe that Jesus is the Savior. You too may confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you too may be saved by Jesus. As it turns out, the good news of the gospel is that the last breath, that the death of the Son of God gives eternal life to the guilty. Will you believe? Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. And indeed, God the Father had done just that in saving the centurion. Jesus saved one of his crucifiers, and he can save you. Friends, will you open your hearts to Jesus? Will you, one who is guilty of countless sins, will you open your heart to the God-man who died to pay for all of your sin? Will you open your heart to Jesus? Will you, one who deserves to face the infinite, eternal, and holy wrath of God forever in hell, will you open your heart to the Savior who opened heaven for the guilty? You can trust Jesus, for he not only died, but 3 days later he was raised from the grave. God the Father vindicated him and raised his Son from the dead. And Jesus then ascended into glory, and he invites you to join him in glory one day by turning from your sin and placing your faith in him. Friend, Jesus' death and resurrection opened heaven for the guilty, for you and for me. Turn from your sin and trust in Jesus. Open your heart to him. As we conclude, beloved, consider there's no longer a do not enter or no trespassing or keep out sign barring sinners from the presence of God. Jesus' last breath and death and resurrection has changed that forever. Our Savior has opened heaven for the guilty, and he's opened the hearts of the guilty. Have you opened yours? Open your heart to Jesus, because he died to open heaven for you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that every single sinner and soul here would run to the Savior, would run to the Lord Jesus and beg for mercy and forgiveness of sins. Father, we pray and ask that you would grant every heart here faith to believe that Jesus died for them and was raised for them for the forgiveness of their sins. Father, help us to rejoice in what Jesus did for us on that Friday so long ago. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.